If you have your Bibles, I hope you do. I ask you to turn to Psalms. Psalms chapter 76. Just think about the goodness of God and how we fail Him. And Brother Ken sends me a text every Sunday morning at 6 o'clock. And by the way, if you're Pensacola, when it comes, at 5 o'clock. Amen. But he sent me a text this morning. Andrew Murray said that humility is the fertile soil that grace grows in. You think about that. We're supposed to be humble, but as Christians, and I'm preaching about Christianity today, and the label, we label so many things today. And I'll talk about labeling in a minute, but we're supposed to wear the label that we're Christians, but it's not just a label. It's supposed to be who we are. We're supposed to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I preached that a few weeks ago, a couple months ago. It's not something that we take off. Psalm 76, if you found your place, I ask you to stand and honor God's word. Just going to read the first three verses. Psalm 76, in verse 1, it says, "In Judah is God known, His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is His tabernacle and His dwelling place in Zion. There break the arrows. He break the arrows of the bow, the shield, and the sword, and the battle." Selah. Thanks for standing honor God's word. You be seated. Please pray with me as I pray. Father, grateful, Lord, for today. Grateful for all you do. Father, we're supposed to give you glory. We're supposed to live a life, Lord, that shows Christ in us, Lord, that hope. And Father, we stand redeemed, Lord, Lord, forgiven of our sin if they've called upon you for salvation, Lord, so grateful that I can claim salvation in you. Father, I ask you today to work in hearts and lives. Help us, Lord, just to realize how blessed we are, but a great responsibility that there is. Father, we preach and preach, and Lord, if you don't touch it, Lord, it's in vain. Father, I ask you to help it to lodge in hearts today. Lord, for your glory. Lord, let us come away different, Lord. Let us never settle for just being average, Lord. But Lord, to desire to be so close to you, Lord, that the world sees you in us. And Lord, you get the glory from it. We thank you and we praise you for what you're going to do. In Christ's name, amen. As you look in that, it says, "In Judah is God known." That used to be said of America. We were one nation under God. And it was known that God had touched this country. I believe that. In Sunday school, I talked about the forefathers, how many tried to say that they were secularists. But many of them were godly men. And our country's founded on something. And it's founded, if you look in the Declaration of Independence, if you look in our Constitution, our founding fathers put things in there to what? Exalt God and what God did. But in Judah is God known. That's a statement that every Christian needs to have in their life, that God is known in our life. I told you we're going to be talking about labels, and the labels we wear. Is God known in you? Are you known as a Christian? And I'm not talking about in name, because we've discussed that time and time again. It's a lot that's called Christianity that's not. It's a lot of people they call Christians that are not, because nothing in their life exemplifies, lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we live today, we're supposed to live not as unto ourselves. The Holy Spirit should be evident in us. You got it when you got saved. If you accepted Christ, same Holy Spirit dwells in you that dwells in me. Amen. That means that we're bound together by the Holy Spirit, but we're living in a period of labels. And I thought about this, and it's an election year, right? We look at the political spectrum and you see the labels that are put on the candidates, right? You see the labels that they drag their wives into, right? You see all these things. This is not what it's supposed to be, by the way. Amen. When you look at things, it's supposed to be integrity shown. Amen. And we look, and when we compare it to what biblical examples we have, God needs to be in control. It's not about labeling people with those kind of labels, but we need to make sure that when somebody looks at us, they see Christ. If you go now and they've got so many rules and regulations on everything. But when you go in the grocery store, you're supposed to be able to pick up a can, right? It's got a label on it. And it's supposed to give you some nutritional facts about that, right? And the ingredients that are in it. Did you see the thing the other day? The snap beans. I think it was out west. They opened up the can of snap beans. There was a mouse head in it. Did you see that? That wasn't on the label. Amen? So when you look at these things, but it's supposed to be the nutritional facts. It's supposed to be the ingredients in it. When people see us in our lives as Christians, they're supposed to be able to see something in us. It's something that should be on us as Christ is in them. The Holy Spirit is guiding their life. Their decisions are made on godly precepts and principles. They let God guide. And that's what it's supposed to be, God in charge of us. When we see here in the passage of Scripture, God here is a place where God's known. When we see this, Salem, Jerusalem, remember a while back I mentioned and I used a reference in Hebrews about Melchizedek. He was the king of Salem. That was Jerusalem before it was Jerusalem, all right? That was Jerusalem before it was the city, the holy city. But we see, so when they talk about Salem here, and Salem is his tabernacle, that's a reference to Jerusalem. That's where you went to worship God, and it was known there. It should be in your lives that you worship the true and living God. That's a label that should be on us. The dwelling place of Zion, a place where God is exalted. And when we see this, the dwelling place of Zion, the Messiah, the long-awaited one. So when you see in Micah 5:2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, thou, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old and everlasting." One's coming out of Bethlehem that's going to be the ruler. It says right there, "His going forth hath been from old to everlasting." That's Christ. Amen. Before time, he was. That was in Sunday school this morning too. Y'all missed another good one. Amen. I enjoyed it. But as you look at this, he's always been. He always will be. But we see the Messiah that came. And we're talking about in Judah is God known. It should make us think. The question in our lives should be, is God known in our lives? Is God known in our homes? I'll talk about a lot of those aspects today. But in every Christian life, God should be known. It's not something, a label, and I think about that. I mean, it's you've seen the little pins, Smile, God Loves You, right? You've seen the fish on the back of the cars, right? Supposed to be Christians. I've seen a lot of those fish where they shouldn't have been. Amen. I've seen a lot of people that claim Christianity, a lot of places they shouldn't have been. I've seen them partaking a lot of things they shouldn't have been. I've seen them using language that they shouldn't have been. But as we look at this, it has to be something that is permanent. It's not something we take off. I said, I preached a message putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to dwell within me. I'll never take it off. It's the anchor. The Holy Spirit, what is that hope that's within us, right? The hope until we're redeemed. And I'm not talking about I'm redeemed now. I'm saved in Jesus Christ. But I'm talking about redemption of the body when I'll be with the Lord. So we're sealed. And it's supposed to be something that's permanent, real to you, not a fake facade to the world. Our conversation, the conversation you engage in, I mentioned that a little bit. Our conduct, Philippians 1:27 says, "Oh, let our conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Wow, that's the gospel. It should be evident in your life that you've been exposed to the gospel. By the way, without the gospel, you're not saved. The gospel is what? The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. But it should be evident. Our conduct is to be a child of God. I have some attributes of my Father. Amen? My earthly Father. If I have attributes of my earthly Father, I should have attributes of my heavenly Father. If there's a work been done in me, it should change my conduct. When I was growing up, I forgot where I was at now. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about being raised up. And they were talking about whoopings. I'm not talking about whippings. I'm talking about whoopings. You don't forget a whooping. And I said, you know, I told them, I said, I cannot remember when my daddy gave me a whooping, but I know I got one because every time he spoke, I jumped because I knew the consequences. But we need to realize God should make a difference to us. I knew it was things I shouldn't do as a child of my earthly father. And there's some things I shouldn't do as a child of my heavenly father because they do not honor him. I was very proud to carry the name Hall because of my father's reputation. People looked to him and they saw what? He was a Christian, for one thing. And I see that now and I look back. But we're supposed to put on something. We're supposed to have something about us. Our actions speak louder than our words. Our talk, right? And our walk need to line up. Because we can talk and we can walk, but what speaks louder is our walk, not what we say. We look around and people say, well, they say they're that, but they're not, because the actions show the truth. What kind of grade do you get on your conduct? You remember that? That was one of the things in the early years of school. You get that conduct. I could always score good on that. Amen. The other stuff, but the conduct, I did all right. Why? Because I had to take that card home and my parents saw it. Amen. Now, the grades, they did get me on, but the conduct, that was something that's important. Why? Because I was a representation of them. That's what we are here, ambassadors for Christ, a representation of Christ. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believer in word, in conversation. It's talking about your conduct. It's not optional. It's not when I'm here, I can be this, and when I'm there, I can be that. We're Christian all the time. We're supposed to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's a label, and I hate to keep calling it a label, but it's something that's permanent. Because if you ruin your testimony, and 20 years from now you're still living, I guarantee you the world will still remember what you did. If you go out and slander the name of Jesus Christ with your life, 20 years from now, it'll be people that still remember that. And it'll be people that say, well, you remember what they did, right? God forgives. I want to tell you, man's hard. Man's hard. We need to be guarding. I told you, testimony only takes a moment to destroy and a lifetime to build. What kind of conduct do you display? What happens when something happens in your life? What comes out of your mouth? Because out of the abundance of the heart, right, the mouth speaketh. If sudden, all of a sudden there's pain, what comes out of your mouth? If somebody pulls out in front of you, road rage, what comes out of your mouth? Be careful. Our speech in Matthew 5:37, let our conversation, our communication, excuse me, let our communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. If you say yes, mean yes. If you say no, mean no. We need to be honest in our communication. 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast that form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. We ought to always make sure we engage in godly conversation. Don't be drawn into that other mess that the world has. Always to exalt him. If every Christian would restrain their speech. I told you before, he gave us one mouth, two ears, right? We're supposed to listen twice as much. And we're supposed to, I told you, it's a cage here. He puts these teeth, he cages that tongue. So we're supposed to think about what comes out of our mouth. And always it should be, am I honoring God? I'm honoring God with all my life. Matthew 26:73, thy speech bewrayeth thee. It means to make evident or to expose. Jesus said that it's not what went into a person that defiled them. It's what came out. It's what comes out of us, this judge. In Judges 12:6, you see the story there about people being exposed because of their speech. It was a time when they were against the Ephraimites, and it says in Judges 12:6, then said they unto him, say now Shibboleth. And he said, Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passage of Jordan, and there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. He could not pronounce the H because of where he was from. I think today about we're a melting pot. You've got so many different people from different regions that come together, and I don't pay that much attention to languages, but I do pick on my father-in-law because he's from Henderson. He's not from Henderson. He's from Henderson. It's a difference. You leave some letters out. But see, that's your speech tells. And he told me one time when I was picking on him, he said, that's how you know who's really from there. Because if they're not, if they moved in, they say Henderson. But if they're not, they say Henderson. It's a difference. Your speech bereath you. It betrays you. When we say we're one thing and we don't talk, a conversation that honors our Savior and what He's done, honors God, it shows what we really are. If I went to somewhere where you worked, if I went around your friends, and I'll talk about friends in a minute too, because I'm going to cover that, but if I went to them, what would they say about you? What's your testimony? I know people now that have a great testimony, and if somebody told me something that they did that was bad, I would deny it. I say, I can't believe that about them. But we need to make sure we have that testimony. But the company you keep, 2 Corinthians 6:14, now ye be ye not unequally yoked together with believers, with unbelievers, excuse me. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The Holy Spirit used Paul to write this to the Christians. It's about companionship, who you're around. I told you that influences you more than anything else. When you hang around people, they'll rub off on you. You always say, well, I'm hoping to bring them up, but they'll rub off on you. Be on your guard. Birds of a feather, what? Flock together. You're known by the company you keep. When somebody sees you in that crowd, they're going to go back and say, preacher, I saw one of your members over there. You're known by the company you keep. Guard. If you're a gun lover, what? You're around guns. Amen. I'll raise my hand. You go to the gun shop. That's what I do. I got friends at the gun shop, but you know, when we get to the gun shop, I told you, Anderson's there. We talk about the Lord. Amen. Around other people. If you're a gardener, if you love gardening, if you love flowers, what? You've got magazines. You get magazines. It shows gardens. You work in the yard. You love what you do and you study it, right? If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, shouldn't you study Him? Shouldn't you spend some time around Him? I mean, I know it's going to be people say, well, here they come again. All they're going to do is talk about the Lord and what He's done. That's a good testimony to have. Guard your testimony. Admonish. 2 Corinthians 6 is what God should be known to you. You should be wearing the label that says, God lives here. Not in your head, but in your heart. So it says a lot of people have head knowledge. They don't have heart knowledge. Make sure the company you keep is a company of character. Cats and dogs usually don't get along together, do they? Somebody's going to be in a fight. We need to hang around with Christians. We need to be in the right company. What kind of company do you keep? What kind of influence are you? Because we're to be a godly influence in all our surroundings. The comedy you enjoy. What kind of jokes you laugh at? Think about it. What kind of entertainment do you enjoy? It's hard to find anything that you can watch now. It's hard to find anything that's decent. So many today, and they think that you have to add profanity, and you're seeing it more. It used to be, and I know I'm old. I'll be 55 in July. But, I mean, you used to could watch television. I mean, I'm talking about me. You used to watch television till 9 o'clock, couldn't you? Till 9 o'clock, you didn't have anything to worry about. But now you can't turn it on because it's always there. It's always prevalent. What is it? It's trying to take your mind. It's trying to bring your focus away. What do you laugh at? And the television programs today, excuse me, most of them just don't make sense to me. I'm starting to enjoy the boys' cartoons much more, and I don't understand them either now. But at least most of them are clean. Amen? And if it's not, we don't watch it. But it's a commonplace. In Christianity, we take it in. It affects you. The eye gates. Be very careful what you take in. You realize we talk about sacred things and we talk about holy things and we have places in our heart and my Bible's precious to me, right? I would not take and go in the house and set my Bible on top of the trash can. I wouldn't do that because I think that's irreverent. But when we take ourselves and we put ourselves in the trash can, what's the difference? Because he dwells in us. Guard yourself. Now I'm going to get to one, the covering you wear. It's the time of year when people start taking clothes off, and I've never seen that in the Bible. And a lot of people say, well, you're hard on the ladies. I'm talking to the men, too, because the Bible says we're supposed to dress modestly. That's what it says. The Bible says you're not supposed to look upon the thigh. It means that we're supposed to be covered. We're supposed to represent Christ. In Genesis 3 and 21, unto Adam also to his wife, the Lord said, make coats of skins and clothe them. He covered them. He covered them completely. Because why? What happened? What did they tell the Lord after they ate the fruit? They knew they were naked, right? He said, how'd you know this? He knew how they knew. But he made them coverings. Be very careful because if we dress in a way that provokes somebody, we're guilty also. So be careful. We're supposed to be modest. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ. The skins are a picture of our salvation. It covered completely because they were complete. We're in salvation. We're completely covered in the blood of Christ. I'm saved. I am. And I'll never lose it. And that's a picture. Then we get to 1 Peter 3 and 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that ye may obey. If any obey not the word, ye may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it be not with outward adorning, a plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let the hidden man in the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is the sight of God, of great price. And after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. It's saying, don't let your testimony be ruined in your household. If your husband's not saved, you can win him by just keep going for Christ. Every time you get the opportunity, exalt Christ. Don't change your life when you get in the house because they see hypocrites everywhere. Amen. They don't need to see one. And this is the men too. A man needs to represent Christ in the hopes that his family will come to Christ. I've heard so many testimonies of people, and I'm talking about, I've heard testimonies of preachers' children that said their daddy was a hypocrite because he mounted the pulpit and he preached one thing, but that's not what he lived. That's a shame. And that's also an abomination to God. Be careful. Guard your lives. When you carry the name of Christian, make sure you carry it proudly and make sure you represent it. The consistency you maintain, are you consistent? Is every day the same? Or are there days when you just say, well, I'm going to have a me day and do what I want to do? It's nothing wrong with having a me day as long as you still honor Christ in what you do. Amen? Everybody needs time to come apart. My pastor, to come away. My pastor used to tell me, he said, you need to come away before you come apart. If you push yourself too hard, you will. You'll come apart. And it's been many Christians that have. Why? Because they were mainly looking at it as this is ordinances I have to keep. These are rules I have to keep. This is something I have to do to be saved. No, it's fruit. It's fruit in you. It's not something I have to do. I tell you again, I did last week. I get to. It's not that I have to keep these ordinances. I want to because I want to honor Christ in my life. Consistency in your service for God. In Acts 10, when God needed a soul winner, and I preached on Peter Wednesday night, he called Peter, didn't he? Peter preached 3,000. God knew who to call. Why? Because he was ready. Was Peter ready at the crucifixion to preach? No. He denied Christ three times, didn't he? But then Christ appeared to him. And when it was time to preach, he was ready. God used him. When God needed a man to write most of the New Testament books, 14 books, did he just call out and call a man? No. He called Paul, a man of God, a man that loved the Lord. Consistent in your discipline, and I'm going to get consistent in your discipline, to your family, your children, your grandchildren, if you have them. Because this, and I was talking to a man this past week, what he's looking at is society today, and he said he just hates it, the way everything is and the people's attitudes. But you know why society is what it is? It's because the family fell apart. Because of discipline in the home. I told him, if you go to discipline your daughter and you say, don't do that or this, and she does that, and you go back and say, I told you not to do that. Now, if you do it again, I'm going to punish you. And you go back again, and she does it again, and you say, well, I told you if I do it, I'm going to punish you this time. If you don't, I'm going to give you one more time. They learn. There's no discipline. That's what's in the prison system today, by the way. They did not see anything that would hinder them because there's no punishment. There's nothing to ask for. It's no responsibility. That's why they formed the way they have today. The shortness, the downfall came in the home a long time ago. And God's been removed from the home. We complain because he was removed from the school, but God left the home long before he left the school because people weren't living for the Lord. Outwardly, has to be consistent. What you say you need to do. My grandchildren, when I say it, I need to do it. Your grandchildren, you say it, you need to do it. If you still have children, you have influence on them. And I've got grown daughters, but if I tell them, they know I mean it. Because you have to be consistent. It's for their own good. I told you, I don't know, last week before, the Lord, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he does. The concern you bear. You should have some concerns. You should have concern for missions. I love missionaries. Amen. We got a missionary coming in a couple weeks. And y'all always do great. We'll take up a love offering and thank y'all. Thank y'all for the love offering that we sent to the City of Refuge. The other week when I wasn't here, y'all took up the offering. Thank you for that. It'll be greatly used. God will use that to change people's lives. But you need to have a burden for missions. You need to have a burden for your church. Things that take place. You need to have a burden for the lost. To have a burden for the lost. Now, I hope you have a burden for your family, your lost loved ones. I do. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond the point. When you look at it, we're supposed to have a burden, a great burden, to reach those, including the person that's pumping gas on the other side of the pump when you pump gas. That person that's in front of you in the grocery line. A lot of times you'll get to strike up a conversation. Bring Jesus in. You'll be surprised. I mean, down here at Walmart, you got some ladies down here at Walmart when you check out, and the Walmart in Hillsborough, you start talking about the Lord, they'll just about shout. Yeah? That affects everybody around them. They might think you're crazy, but amen. See, you never know, because it's a lot of people, and I've preached this before, and I've preached messages like this before, but it's a lot of people that are right there on that fringe. And if you'll just give them a little encouragement, you'll push them over the edge. Amen. And they'll start bragging about what the Lord's done. And by the way, that encourages me. I like when I get ready to talk to somebody about the Lord and they say, well, let me tell you what he's done for me. And I just sit there and enjoy it. Because God's good. He's not just my God. He's everybody's God. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. And we need to be encouraging to people that they'd brag on God. The completeness you display. If you've been saved for a few years and you're at the same place you were when you got saved, you're backslidden. Amen. Growing in grace. Maturing. We need to get to the point where if you still need milk, and look, I still drink milk once in a while because I like it. Amen. But we're supposed to be moved on to the meat. If you've been saved 10 years, you need to be on meat. You need to be searching out the Word of God, saying, wow, this is amazing. Let me tell you what God showed me. If you're struggling to come to church, you need to tighten up. Amen? Because it should be a desire there that you want to be there. And I want to say this, because suppose you came to church and I didn't come. So you're the pastor. I'm a Christian. Amen. I fight the same struggles and the same battles you do every day. Now, I'm not talking about sick. I'm just talking about waking up one day and saying, I don't want to go. You can ask Lisa. I have those days. Amen. Y'all can smile. It's okay. But we get to go to church. If I didn't come, you say, well, you're the pastor. You're supposed to be here. You're a Christian. You're supposed to be here too. God has called us to assemble together. That's what it said, not forsaking, assemble together, no matter some. We're supposed to come together. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what the riches, the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Gentiles here, he's talking about lost people, okay? You know, the Gentiles were heathens, okay? The gospel was not to them, it was to God's people, right? Israel. But he's talking about that we're supposed to make known the riches of his glory and the mystery. What's the mystery? The gospel, remember? Back in Ephesians when we talked about, it's been several times we brought it up, talking about when he gives the picture of the marriage and it said, I speak to you concerning a mystery, a great mystery. What's the mystery? Christ in the church. We need to reveal that in our lives so that the world sees what it really is. The unsaved should see what you want and desire it. Not see what you have and say, I've got better than that already. We're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to be reflecting that light. And I thought about this, and y'all forgive me, I'm on a diet again, so I'm thinking about food a lot. Amen? But food advertisements, have you ever seen one of the things where they tell you how they do the food advertisements? How they take and they put the food out, and they put glycerins on there to make it shine just right. If you look at the food advertisement, then you go to the restaurant and get the food, it doesn't look like that. Amen? But they're doing that, why? To draw you in. They're putting something on there that's fake. I don't have to put on anything that's fake. What I got is better than what the world's got. I put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I let him shine through me in this earthen vessel. To honor him, people should desire it. It shouldn't be something they get there and say, well, that's not what I saw. They need to say, this is real. Because Christ is in you. In Judah, is God known? Is God known in you? That's the question. In Psalm 76, verse 11, it says, vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. It said, vow and pay. If you told the Lord you love him and that you want to live for him, you vowed a vow. You said, Lord, I want to do what you'd have me to do in my life. Well, if you vowed a vow, it said you ought to pay him because he's to be feared. He's to be reverenced. What do you pay? In Psalms 51, verse 15, it says, Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, wilt thou not despise? Does God despise the offering you're bringing to him? If you say you are you? Amen. If you're a Christian, be a Christian. If you're a Christian, live a Christian life all the time. Not just on Sundays and Wednesdays and in between when there's a meeting or when somebody from the church goes by. Be a Christian. You've got a label on you that the world put on you. They were first called Christians at Antioch, right? It was not a compliment. They're saying they're one of them. I don't have a problem with being called one of them because I am one of them. I just want to be worthy to be named one of them. Amen? Stand to your feet. Heads bowed. I'll get Luana to play something on the piano. How's your Christian life? It's a struggle. Every day, it's a struggle. But that's what it's supposed to be. God said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. If he's overcome the world and he's in us, then we have the power to overcome and live for him. If you're not doing too well, just ask the Lord, help you. So often we let things get in our life and we get ashamed of them. But the Lord already knows what's in your life. So why do you carry the shame? Why don't you just give it to him and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. Help me to live the way I should. Help me to guard what I'm supposed to guard. When I did something I wasn't supposed to do and had to go to my daddy, I was ashamed of what I did, but I was ashamed of the reproach I brought on him. How much more as a Christian should we be ashamed and come to our Heavenly Father and say, Lord, forgive me. I never should have even had that thought in my mind, much less acted on it. He forgives. He's faithful and just. That's what the Bible says. Father, I'm grateful for all you do for us. Grateful, Lord, that there's forgiveness, Lord, as we fail so many times daily. But Father, help us always, Lord, to come to you. Help us to live for you. Lord, to glorify your name in our lives. Lord, what you've done, Lord, we can never repay what you've done for us. But help us live for you, Lord. In a world that has no hope, Lord, let us exhibit the hope that you've given us. This in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, be with each one. I pray for special needs in so many lives. I pray, Father, that you just touch those that have tests coming up, those that have had tests. Father, we thank you for the good results. Father, we just ask you in every opportunity we have to give you glory, Lord, and let the world see what you've done for us. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen.